The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Abacus Plumbing. Finally, professionals you can count on.
I'm a hard-working man. Working man.
Good morning, Houston. Let's get you from to-do to done right now.
I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I'm a hard-working man.
Need help with your to-dos? Or someone you can trust to do it for you? We're here for you. Home Show Radio continues with Tom Tynan.
And we continue on with hour number three of Home Show Radio, coming at you today live from Brownsville, Texas. I work down here during the week. I decided to spend the weekend here. My wife and I are going to Padre Island and having some grouper at the Sea Ranch tonight. I think tonight. Yeah, we're going to do it this evening. But we'll see. Anyway, I like grouper. It's a good fish. All right. Anyway, like not anybody cares. Let's see here. Let's talk to Gade. Gade, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
Hey, so I got a newer house. It was built in 2016. And every summer we've had holes in our attics around AC ducts. And I've had them come out, fix it under warranty, and all they do is they clean it and they mastic it up, and every summer it comes back again. So and this last time they put some kind of black mastic on it, so I guess I can't see the mold next year. So I'm not sure what needs to be done to fix that.
First off, if it's on metal, it's not mold, it's mildew. So it's not some kind of dangerous thing. It's just that the metal gets so cold and the attic is a little dirty, and the dirt gets on that, and it's just going to grow some mildew. So you just got to, if it concerns you, clean it up. If you don't want to see it, you can wrap it with insulation so it doesn't get dewy on that metal because it's getting so cold. But it's not really a big issue.
There's nothing to be concerned about.
I don't think so, unless you have a leaky duct, and it sounds like they're sealing that whole thing up. Think of it like a beer can outside in a hot day. It's going to sweat on the outside unless you put a koozie on it. So what you do is you wrap it tight with, if you want to wrap it with insulation, if you just don't want any mildew at all growing on it. But most units you go in after years will have a little bit of mildew growing on them if they're in the attic, because it's so warm and humid up there, and it's like a beer can. It's really cold, so it's going to sweat. You're going to have some dirt, and with dirt and water, you get a little bit of mildew.
Okay, it's just weird because my last house was 10 years old. I never saw anything like that.
You know why? This one's probably getting really cold. So if it's a concern, and if it's worse than I think it is, what the answer would be, it sounds like it's probably on the plenum. Is that right? Where it's on the metal box that the duct's attached to?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that thing
it was another spot too, but they did replace the plenum, but it came back in that same spot.
Yeah, what they would end up doing if you wanted to is wrap the outside with more insulation so the air doesn't touch the metal, and then the metal won't have anything grow on it because it's insulated. And it won't have any dripping or sweating or anything, but it's probably because this new unit is getting so cold, which is good for humidity removal. But if it's really bad, that's how you would solve something like that, is by wrapping the plenum.
Okay.
All right.
My mind at ease a little bit.
I know it sounds like it's really bothering you, but we've had really last two years a lot of rain, a lot of humidity. If it really bothers you, if you want them to come out, they can wrap it with some insulation, the insulation they use on ductwork, and wrap it nice and tight, and you won't have that problem anymore.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
713-572-4610. Call me, and we will talk. This is the third and final hour of the Saturday edition of Home Show Radio. Tomorrow we'll be doing the regular hours, 8 to 11, starting with early edition tomorrow morning at 8. And then next weekend, and when the Texans play a noon game, no matter if it's in town or out of town, I know they're Monday night with the Saints this week, we will be going on from 7 to 9 on Sundays. Do it every football season. It doesn't really bother me any, but we just have to do a little extra work on Saturdays to keep everybody, you know, in line. Leaving it at that. All right, RCW Nursery is a place I've been going to for 30. It's going to be 31. September 11th, 9/11, is my oldest boy's birthday. That's when he was born, in 1988. And I've been going to RCW Nursery since 1988. 98, 2008, 31. Yeah, 31. Jimmy's going to be 31 this in just a few days, actually, from now, right? Today is the 7th. Yeah, a few days. So, and I still go there. That's where I get all my plants and stuff. That's why I'm never going to get rid of my house in Houston, because I planted all those fruit trees and I want my fruit. You know, you plant a tree. My mother used to joke and say, I want a geriatric tree. I said, what the heck is that? She goes, the tree, it's already full grown, which you can buy, you know, at places. But she goes, I don't have time to sit around and wait for it to grow, because trees are kind of small when you first buy them, right? So I never planted her any trees because she would get mad at me. I'm never going to see that grow. Why are you planting that? I don't know. Because you need a plant here? I don't know what to say. Anyway, RCW Nurseries, I've taken her there many times. She always enjoyed it. And you will too. It's a nice place to go and just talk to people about good organic fertilizers, like the MicroLife. I get my bags of dirt there. I get my fruit trees there. They have a tree farm that's not there, but they bring the trees in. They're all container grown trees, which they about just invented the way to do that. Tom did. That was the dad. He's passed away. Now David runs it, his son, but. Tom, he started the whole thing. It was just incredible. The tree farm, then the nursery. It used to be an old dairy farm. It's right there at 249 and Beltway 8. It has a lot of history right there that people don't know about. Anyway, RCW Nurseries. Go by and see them. I think they're worth a drive from anywhere. It's my favorite nursery. It's close to my house, so that's why I go too. But well, that's why I started going 31 years ago. But it's always been a mainstay. If they weren't doing it right, I wouldn't go back. I always go over there. Sometimes they have free food. You never know. I like to go over when they have free food. And then I end up buying stuff anyway. So anyway, RCW Nurseries, worth the drive from anywhere. Beltway 8 and 249. Been there forever. And if you're looking for a good nursery, you're in that part of town. More importantly, it's always going to be RCW Nurseries for me. Make it for you, too. And we continue on with Home Show Radio. Let's get back to the calls. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, you are on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Long-time listener, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I'm doing fine.
Oh, good, Tom. Hey, I've got the high electric bills that everybody is having this time of year now, but I've known for some time that the insulation in my attic has settled, and I've been pushed around here and there, putting light fixtures and things like that in. So I want to get my insulation raked back out level. I think I have about 12 inches up there. The house is built in 2002. And I'm thinking about adding more insulation, maybe another 5 inches on top of it. I've got two bids. One contractor wants to get an attic and seal around the registers with foam to prevent any AC from leaking back into the attic. And the other one, in addition to putting in the insulation, the other one wants to install these kind of Kevlar caps between the rafters from down near where the bottom of the roof, and then all the way up to where the ridge vents are, claiming that that's going to lower the temperature. I have radiant barrier roofing, but he says that because of nail holes and the manufacturer's name printed on the radiant barrier, that I'm only getting about 50% benefit. What are your thoughts?
I think that's kind of a dumb statement. I'd keep it simple. I mean, it is a good idea to seal the registers where the ceiling is, and that, you know what, that really helps getting that black mildew that grows around registers, and it's actually required now in new homes. It's a part of the inspection process and the energy package. So that's not a bad thing. You don't really have to do it. If you don't have a mildew problem, you don't have to do it at all if it's going to save you some money. I'd just blow in 5 inches of insulation, and that's it. The other stuff, I think, is just a waste of time and money. If you have a radiant barrier, you have your insulation, you have your attic ventilation, and your electric bills are still too high, I'm assuming you're shopping your electric rates, because they're really cheap, and you should be able to get them down. So if you're not shopping, you need to shop.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's advice well taken there. I do need to do that.
Oh, you do. Everybody All right, Tom. Does. You'd be surprised what you can cut your bill in half if you just shop. Just go to powertochoose.org and just go with the cheapest people in town. It's all the same electricity. I shop every single year, and it's just so inexpensive energy prices right now.
So even though at certain times I'm running pretty high kilowatt hours, you know, because they have ranges up to 1,000, you get a certain price, and then over that you get another price.
Yeah, and I tell you, I go over the 2,000 mark in July, August, and not maybe September this year. I don't know. We'll see. But besides that, the rest of the year, it's so low, it averages out really low. So you might get one higher bill and use more kilowatt. But if you're paying, if you're paying half the money for a kilowatt that you are right now, you're cutting your bill 50%. Some people are paying 16 cents a kilowatt hour. That's nuts because they didn't watch their rates. I think I'm paying less than 8 right now, and you can get it down pretty low. A lot of people keep adding stuff. Remember, your air conditioning cost is not the only cost. Your refrigerators, your freezers, your electronics, everything is adding to that. That's why you want to make sure you're shopping for the less electricity costs first, because you cut everything off. When you just add insulation or windows or something like that, that's just affecting your cooling cost, which is only about 30% of your entire cost. So you have to look at the whole picture and not just think it's always the air conditioner. People blame the air conditioner. It's lots of times that's not what the problem is.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Good luck. You'll get it. Don't waste your money, though. 713-572-4610. I hate to see people waste money unless you just want to. Like I'm going to tonight buy a really expensive piece of grouper, which probably doesn't cost that much. And whoever caught it probably had a great time fishing. Somebody said the other day, oh, we got to go fishing. I said, I don't fish. Oh, I don't like you. That's what the guy said. I said, well, you don't want me on your boat. He said, I got a great boat. I said, what, so I can sit there and throw up the whole time? He goes, oh, you're one of those. I said, yes. Now, I can Dramamine myself until I'm in a stupor and fall asleep. You know, take about five Dramamines the night before, then three when I get on the boat, then and just sip on one beer before it's a quarter of the way gone, because I don't drink beer anyway. It bloats me. And I'm sleeping the whole trip, so I don't go fishing, that's all. But I will cook it and eat it. There's no doubt about that. Circle Saw is the place you go when you're looking for new tools. We had a call or a question that we did a Daily Mail on. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. No, it was the day before. Yesterday was Friday. I did some other stuff yesterday. Thursday, when I was in Houston, and it was, hey, I wanted to get a really good pressure washer, but you know, I only need a medium duty one. I'm not in the business. And you know, where do you go to find the right tool for you? Because there's so many to choose from. Well, some people can say, well, get a this and then that and a this, or get this brand, you know, like get a Honda. Well, that might not necessarily be what you need. You might be wasting your money. That's why I say go to Circle Saw and ask the experts and say, this is my requirements. This is what I want to do with my pressure washer in this case. And they will lead you in the right direction, and you will get the right pressure washer for the job that you're going to be doing, whether you're a homeowner or a professional. Same with saws, panel saws, you name it. They do it all. They're the ones that know how to, well, they know how to guide you in the right direction. Most places just ring it up and you take it home. No, not a Circle Saw. They're going to ask you, what are you going to do with it? Let's get the right tool for you. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. Well, we might not have this one right now, but let's order it because this is the perfect one for you. Or I've got this one over here. We've got some. And it's so much nicer to deal with one-on-one with someone who knows more about what you're buying than you do, because then they're going to help you get the right tool for you. Circle Saw, they've been around forever. They also do all the maintenance on them too. So if you have a pressure washer that doesn't work anymore, don't throw it away unless you just want to. Take it over there and say, hey, can you get this thing running? They'll get it running. Gasoline-powered chainsaws, weed eaters, you name it, they do it. So they'll take care of it. Saw blades, they sharpen. They just, and tools that are not working, like a circular saw or something, you don't know what it is, might just need some brushes in there or something, they'll take care of it. They'll fix it for you. They're full service. Circle Saw, located at 2510 Ella Boulevard, inside North Loop 610.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
Be with you till noon. Got about a little over 30 minutes. Got plenty of time to get your calls in. We do have open lines. Let's talk to Chris. Chris, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I own a number of rental homes, and I have to clean the tile in these things to get them presentable. And, you know, I've been scrubbing them on my hands and knees and, you know, using them like a spinning brush. Do you have any tips on cleaning large areas of tile that I might be able to use?
Maybe you should consider buying a steam cleaner. Steam cleaning tile really works well, and if you're in the business of doing this a lot and you don't want to hire somebody that has the equipment, which you could also do, steam cleaning is the way to go when you have to clean a lot. Because if you're constantly cleaning this stuff and scrubbing it with commercial cleaners and things, you'll end up destroying the grout. Steam cleaning is more gentle and more.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wouldn't be like one of those Bazelle clean carpet cleaner things. It'd be a different thing, like a steam cleaner.
No, it'd be
cleaner.
Steam. It would be steam.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure. You know, you can, if you're in a rental business and you want to be your own property manager, you know, sometimes buying professional grade cleaning equipment and stuff, and if you're going to be doing it regularly, is not a bad investment if you have a place to store it.
I think you just helped me out a lot, because, like, another thing I did, like, I bought an ozone generator, to, you know, when they move out and put that in there and get all the smells out. Hadn't thought about this. I'll look for a steam cleaner then. That's
a
good idea.
And you can do the showers and things like that, but if you're going to have a business, you might as well go into the professional equipment too.
Oh, yeah, some of these houses have, you know, like a 2,000 square feet of tile.
And you're down on your hands and knees? Give up the business.
That's why I'm calling.
Yes, sir. I'd get myself, just in the contracting business, we buy the right tools, man, because we're not going to sit there and play with homeowners' tools and try to do things that we need to do. So
that's it. I'll look for those online. Thank you so much.
And in some cases, we rent the equipment, but we rent professional equipment. It depends how often you use it. And quite frankly, if I was in the rental business like that, I would probably have guys that I call on a moment's notice to get the property ready for rent again, because you make your money on the rent, not on cleaning them up. So anyway, that's just me. It depends how many houses you have and stuff like that. All right, Ideal Roofing is a company you call when you need a new roof. Ideal Roofing wants you to be wary of what they call the door knockers. Ooh, yes, door knockers. The door knocker companies. Don't buy any kind of home improvement from someone that comes to your door. Just don't do it. It's not going to end up well, period. And if it does, you lucked out. And you don't want to play that gambling game. You want to call a good quality company to do the work, and you want to call them. Then they'll knock at your door, because they'll come see you at a specified time. And, of course, location, which will probably be your home if you're a homeowner. And Ideal Roofing will take care of it. They take care of commercial roofs, too, so I'm not going to just say it's only homeowners. It could be a commercial building, for that matter. But Ideal Roofing is a company you want to be a part of your project. Even the insurance industry likes them, because they're so honest in the way they do business with them. And it's very rare in the storm-chasing, door-knocking business that there's a lot of honesty in it. But with Ideal Roofing, they've been around for decades. And I've had insurance adjusters tell me, when it's an ideal job, we bend over backwards to make sure that job's right, because we know that money's going into that roof for those homeowners. It's not going into somebody's pocket. It's Ideal Roofing, 713-896-1122.
Now, back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
And let's continue on with Home Show Radio. Let's talk to Ed. Ed, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I'm looking on my house. It's a 1978 General home. You know about those.
And I know there, yes.
Yeah. I'm preparing to paint the inside. Hasn't been painted in probably 10 years on the inside. And I'm noticing that in the corners, on the inside corners, that it looks like the tape that they use to mud those corners is popping loose off the sheetrock. Is there a reason why it's doing that? And do I cut that out to repaint, remud those corners, or what do I do there?
Yeah, you're going to have to retape and float them, and it's just letting go. I don't think you have a major problem. It's just the tape's starting to let go in some of those areas. So just cut it with a razor blade knife somewhere where it's still attached, and then pull the loose stuff off, and then just tape and float it and spray a little texture on there to match.
Okay, because it's not very much. It's, you know, it's like a quarter inch. It's just right in the corner where it's where it meets.
Okay, if you want to try to mud it down, you can do that too, if it's just a little bit.
Oh, okay. I may give that a shot.
And you can get the texture in a can and just spritz it. So once you get it a little smoothed out, see what you can do with it. But yeah, don't try to rip it all off. Wherever it's attached, just cut it with a razor blade and then take the little piece off.
I don't want to make a bigger mess.
No.
Okay, got one more question for you. Is my wife is looking to put some pavers down. She wants me to put some pavers down in the backyard just to get to the trash can. And I don't really want the pavers underneath the eaves since I don't have gutters. So I was thinking about moving the pavers outside the roof line and then between the pavers and the foundation, putting in large river rock to absorb that water when it pours off. What do you think about that?
Well, I use bull rock around my house where the flower beds are to collect the rainwater so it drains away and it doesn't tear up the flower beds. So it can be used. It's hard to walk on, but it certainly can be used as to catch water off a roof, and it works really well. And I think it looks good, too. So behind all my flower beds is about 18 to 20 inches of bull rock, the big rock.
Okay, so that sounds like a good thing. I'm not going to walk in the bull rock. I'm going to put the bull rock between the pavers and the foundation.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you. Yeah, you could do that if you like the way it looks. It's fine.
Well, I don't know how it's going to look. It's just what she wants. She's looking to put in right now. So
we'll okay, that's fine. Whatever.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you. 713-572-4610. Let's talk to Chad. Chad, you're on Home Show Radio.
Tom.
Chad.
Happy birthday. Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I'm at the in-laws' house, and I came over to check their air filters, you know, the intakes.
Yes.
And they have the intake on almost every room, the little square ones, and they have the main one, but none of them have any filters. Now, is that normal?
They have. Did you check where the unit is? Is there a media filter upstairs? That's what you're going to find.
Is that so? It's okay if they just have one media filter.
Same with my house too. Yeah, if it's a media filter, and usually with multiple air filters, I know your in-laws have a newer home, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a media filter upstairs. Yeah, there's a media filter up there, and it takes care of the whole thing. And it's good they have all those little ones. I've got seven of them in my house.
Yeah, and so then will it self-clean most of the time, or is it something that we have to change out once a year, or how often?
The media filter needs to be changed probably in their case once a year. If you had a lot of dogs and stuff, that would be twice a year. But in their case, probably once a year, and you can have it changed when they do their yearly checkup.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. I wasn't sure about having the little ones in the small intakes. But
no,
okay.
I get that question all the time because it's a new way to think, and people are used to the old ways.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, enjoy yourself at the Sea Ranch, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chad. We'll see you. That was Chad Mann. He's the one that does all the production of the show during the week. And one of his tasks, and he's a very nice young man because of it, although I think he's older than me, but very close, whatever it is, we're really close, probably younger. He takes care of his in-laws. They live in Del Webb, I do believe, or something like that. And so they used to live on Padre Island for many years. I am down here in Brownsville, well, actually Laguna Vista, or Boca del Vista, as I would say in Seinfeld, and doing the show from there because I now work at Texas Southmost College, so I commute back and forth to Houston. It's still very close. I'm still in Texas. I'm still here. This is my home. But tonight, I'll be eating at the Sea Ranch. How did I know about the Sea Ranch? Well, when I came down here a year ago, and Chad's very familiar with the island. I think he's coming down on vacation down here at South Padre. I said, where's a good place to eat? He goes, I'll go to the Sea Ranch. I said, okay. And we went to the Sea Ranch, and Sandra and I loved it, and we go there all the time. It's right on the docks, and you get the freshest fish in the world. They serve you fast. You can get in and out. Not the cheapest place in town, but nothing's, you know, it's a touristy area, so they're always going to charge more. And it's loaded with people every day, so we're going there for dinner tonight. That was the whole story, and that was Chad. Okay, let's move on. I want to tell you about the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street, the original. The ones that will take care of your garage door. I had to call them not too long ago. My wife said, the door's still working, but what are all these parts on the floor of my garage? Because she has her own garage for her car. I looked at it, I said, oh my goodness, the spring and everything. And the spring had sprung. The wheels have come off the carriage, and the wire was hanging all over the place. She goes, I didn't know. I just was wondering what these parts are for. She didn't even pick them up. She just kept running her car over them. So I said, well, no, just I had to undo the lock on there and just drop the door and say, don't put your car in there. You're going to get caught in there, and the garage door is going to get all cattywampus, and it was just going to be a mess. So I called them. They came out the next day, replaced both springs, all the wheels, the wire, the cables, I should say, not the wire, but the cables. It's an older type of door from the 70s, so it has one spring on each side. It doesn't have the counterbalance spring like my other door does, the newer ones. And it was $145. That's what I paid. I wrote the check to the guy, $145. He was there about, I'd say, maybe 30 to 40 minutes. He did a great job, did it quickly, which is important, and did it effectively, and it works great. And that's what they're all about. Anybody else would have said, oh, this is the old-style door. I will guarantee you this. Anybody else would have said, this is the old-style door. We don't have parts for these anymore. You'll have to buy a new door. And try to charge me $1,000. Not the overhead door cover, Houston. He goes, yeah, I got a couple of springs in the truck. We can make this work. And it works. $145, not $1,450. And that's what a lot of companies do out there. It's a strange business. I want you to be very careful. That's why I recommend you go with the best, the original since 1934, the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street. And you know what? Every one of those parts he put in that were new, guaranteed for life. The part, if it ever breaks, they'll come replace it, and I'll pay them the labor, but the part is free. That's because they use only the good parts. Now, other companies will do this. Well, we have two choices for you. We can put the parts in with a one-year or 90-day warranty, whatever they tell you. I don't know. Or for a little extra money, we can give you the lifetime warranty on the parts. But guess what? It's the same dang part. Why don't they just give the lifetime warranty? Because they want to make extra money. They pad everything. That's how they work. These garage door guys mainly work on commission. But at the Overhead Door Company of Houston, whether they work on commission or not, they're taught to play it straight with the homeowner. So don't get fooled by the other ones. Go with the original, the genuine, the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street. The people you will find at homeshowradio.com.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
All right, let's talk to Rick. Rick, you're on Home Show Radio.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I call in about every 10 years because I've learned so much from you. I don't have to call in more frequently than that.
That's fine, but thank you.
And we have a mutual friend I was bringing up. Remember Steve Reif? He was a banker.
Oh, my goodness, yes. He helped me a lot in my early years. They were very good over there at Sterling Bank. He was awesome.
Great guy. I don't know whatever happened to him, but that was in like the mid, late 80s, so I've been with you for a while.
Yes, I started in 87. Thank you.
Yep. Quick question, and I've heard this answer, but I don't recall. I need to get more specifics. I'm building a 4,000-square-foot metal building out in the country. It will have ridge vents across the top, an industrial 14-foot fan. It'll have 6 bay doors. And it's not going to be just a storage dump for hay and equipment. It's going to be a pretty nice barn.
Okay.
Epoxy floor, the armor seal paint, I think I've heard you talk about that before. I use that. But my big question is insulation. Do I want to insulate this thing or not? I know you said it can be damp, it can be moist, kind of stuff. What are the quick pros and cons for a place out in the country?
Whether it's out in the country is not the issue, but the fact of the matter is this is a steel building, correct? Walls and roof?
Yes.
If you don't insulate against it, it doesn't have to be a lot of insulation. They make a particular insulation for metal buildings that you insulate right up against the inside of the walls and the roof, and it keeps it from sweating. If you don't, it's going to rain in there, and you're going to have condensate dripping all over the place.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter, country, city, it doesn't matter. And you're not going to air condition it, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so get that thin. It's a vinyl wrapped insulation that straps right up against the metal. You'll go into warehouses, wherever you go, you're going to see it. If you do it nice and neat, I don't think it's ugly at all. I think it's fine. But that will keep it from sweating. You can sweat on the outside all you want, but you don't want sweating on the inside.
I have seen metal buildings, and I believe have it. It's a white kind of plastic-looking material. Okay.
Yeah, and it's very thin. It's about, when you push it on there, it's maybe an inch or less.
So if I'm spending several hundred thousand dollars for this building, should I go ahead and throw in the insulation?
No, because you're not cooling it. What will happen is, if let's say you insulated it like a house, and people always want to insulate their garage thinking it's going to cool it. It does not. What happens, it still gets hot in there in the summer. And then when the sun goes down, it retains the heat. It insulates it so the heat will stay in there. It'll stay hot all night long. So you want it to cool down as much as possible, and you do that through ventilation. Like you say, your fans, you open your doors, you ventilate like crazy. And, of course, it's going to be hot in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in August. But at night, at 9 o'clock, it's going to cool down nicely and where you want it the same temperature as the outside. And that way you avoid, you know, an uncomfortable place. If you had it all insulated, it actually would stay hot all night because the heat can't leave.
Gotcha. So go with the insulation or don't go with the insulation?
Go with the thin insulation against the inside of the metal building. But that's not for insulation for energy savings like you would in a house. That's just to keep it from sweating. Something has to touch that wall to keep it from sweating.
Now, would that also go on the ceiling or just the walls?
Yeah, it's going to rain. It's going to sweat. Just think of it as a beer can. Depending what the temperatures are, wherever it's on the warm side and that metal is cool at night, or if it's raining and the humidity is really heavy, it is going to condensate. It's going to form on it because the metal's cooler than the air. The air, hot air, touches the metal, creates a dew point, and then all of a sudden you have condensate dripping.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your information. Love your show. I've been with you for years, and I know you're the guy I need to contact for my answers.
I appreciate you listening very much. Thank you. Let's talk to Patrick. Patrick, you are on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I bought a house in 2017. It's in a subdivision in Katy. Actually closed the week of Hurricane Harvey, and house didn't flood or anything.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to give me a horror story. No, that's okay. If it didn't flood, you're okay. Mine didn't flood either. It was just a bad rainstorm for me.
Right, exactly. Well, I hope it's not a dumb question, but maybe about a year ago, I start seeing these paint chips on my floor, on the ground, or on the tables, and yeah, I didn't really think anything of it. I pick them up, throw them away. I just keep seeing them all the time, these little white paint chips. And, you know, I finally looked up. I thought they were coming off the ceiling. And then I looked at one of my vents, and I see a big paint chip, like, stuck in the vent. And I just don't understand. Do you have any idea what, I mean, could that be coming off the grate? Or it's just like, it's nonstop.
No, but do you have a one-story or two-story house?
It's a one-story house.
So you can get up and take a look at your ducks. See if you have a busted duck somewhere. That's the only thing I could think of. It's collecting stuff busted from the duck. Attic and blowing it down the duck. Because, there's no paint inside the ducks. If there is, you know what you could do? You could go up there and remove the register and look. The register is that great, as you said. And just sometimes, you know, I have an old saying, if you want to know if it's wet, you got to stick your finger in it.
I
know it sounds weird, but it's true. And sometimes you just have to do some investigation, which means you have to stick your hand up there, wipe your hand around, and see what could have happened. And I want you to think of this. When they painted the house, they spray painted it. And they didn't put any kind of paper or anything in the registers. So when they painted it, they just painted, not in the registers weren't up yet. They didn't do the trim. The things were open. You just had the open boxes. And they could have gone in there and sprayed and not be careful and sprayed inside those boxes. And there'll be paint in there that will not stick and it'll come off. So that might be the problem that you're seeing. But the only way to know is to look up there, take a flashlight, take the register off, and see because they're supposed to put a bunch of paper and stuff in there. So paint doesn't go up inside the ducts, but some of these guys get real lazy and don't do it if they're not supervised right.
Sure. Right.
That could be it. And it's not going to stick to that duck very long, and the duck's going to get cold, and the air's blowing through, and it's going to get hot. And if there's paint up there, it'll start flaking off.
Okay. The only other variable I can think of is I have they call it a Texas basement that we had built out, and you know they ran air conditioning from my main unit, and I don't know if that would have anything to do with it or not. But
I don't think so. If your house is cooling right and you're comfortable with your house, I think it's fine. I have a feeling, as I thought about it, that it's exactly what I just said, that they did not protect those boxes and they just sprayed the house real fast and got paint up inside those ducts, and so it's just slowly working its way off. So that's the very first thing I would do. If that's it, then I'm not sure what to tell you, but if that's it, at least you know where it's coming from.
Yeah, so I have to go to what do you call them, not grates,
registers. Just take one off and take a look. You don't have to, I don't want you to go to every one and take, I want you to go to one and take a look, stick your hand up in there, feel around. If it comes down with little paint dust on your hand, that's what happened.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Patrick. All right, let's move on and tell you about Texas Floors, the can-do flooring store. They can do. You know what they can do? They can come to your home. You shop at home. That's what they can do. Actually makes it easier for them. You know, I'm acting like it's a really special treat, and it's they have to send someone out to take the measurements anyway, right? Let's just get down and dirty with it. You got to take all the room measurements, whether you're getting tile or you're getting wood, and you know, you'll know what you kind of want. You can definitely go to their showroom, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But they have to take the moisture readings, and they have to take the measurements to give you an estimate. They can't give you an estimate without taking exact measurements. So they come out, they bring samples, because you say, you know, I want a light wood laminate type floor. Or I want to take a look at some light wood vinyl, the new vinyl slapdown stuff. Maybe you've gone to stores and you've looked at different things. You have a pretty good idea what you want. They'll bring a bunch of samples. You can test those samples in your home. And if you find something you like, they certainly can get all the measurements. And if you don't, then you can go to their showroom, or you can go research a little more, but at least they'll have all the measurements and everything. And then you finally pick out your floor with them. And hopefully you do it the first time because you have a good idea what you want. And if you don't, go to their showroom and talk to them. It's located at Spring Cypress exit at 290, just on the south side next to not exactly next to, but close to the Office Depot anchor store. And go see what they got to say. And pick out some samples. Take them home. But they still got to come out. So if you know what you want, a lot of you do all your research online. You know exactly the floor you're looking for. You just want to find out who's going to do it for you, put it down well, warranty it properly, and, of course, get you a decent price. And then you can just call them and have them bring it to your home, and you can go through several color choices, because what might look good online might not look good up against your cabinet. And I don't want you running around with your computer, sticking your computer up under your cabinet. I want you to take some samples. And the light in everybody's home is different. Some of you have LED, some of you have fluorescents. So you want to see and make sure it all blends nice. And that's what they're all about. That's Texas Floors. You can find Texas Floors and all our certified home show pros at homeshowradio.com. And let's continue with the calls and talk to Terry. Terry, you're on Home Show Radio.
Mr. Tom, I want to ask you, I got senior citizen. We're both senior citizens, and we're on fixed incomes.
Yes, sir.
And my wife is in rehab, and when she comes out in like 18 days, she's going to need a wheelchair ramp going up to our double-wide trailer. And I've called everybody from the state all the way down, and I can't find anybody that's qualified to install an ADA wheelchair ramp assembly, whether it's wood or metal. You know, I was thinking maybe there were some volunteers that do that. I can pay for the material.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know of anybody that does that. I can tell you on a wheelchair ramp, you want 1 inch per foot of drop so that the person can actually wheel themselves up and down. So they're usually a lot bigger than people expect. And you want it at least 3 feet wide. And so those are the specifications for it. But and you want handrails and a wheel well on the bottom so the wheels can't go over the edge. But as far as that goes, I don't know of anybody that does that for state or anything of that nature. There might be somebody out there, but I'm not familiar with them.
Well, they got a program. It's called Texas Ramps.
Uh-huh.
But you got to get on a waiting list. And the money is allocated to the month before. In other words, this month, when the money comes in next month, it'll go for the people that's on the waiting list for this month.
Right.
So, all right, well,
And that's probably, there's not a lot of people that do it. That's why that's probably a waiting list. So,
yeah. I got one other question.
Yes, sir.
I have a 24-foot moving container, like Hertz carries office furniture around in.
Yes.
And I was going to insulate. I insulated the inside with that 1-inch pink insulation down the walls.
Okay.
Do I have to worry about any kind of sweating in between the insulation and the fiberglass walls there?
It's up against the wall, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
If it's up against the wall and the air doesn't touch the actual metal wall, you'll be fine. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's a fiberglass wall.
Okay, well, fiberglass, too. No, if it's against it, there should be no sweating.
Okay, but where the joints come together, where they butt together, do I need to seal that off?
No, if it's fiberglass and not steel, when you said shipping container, I automatically thought of metal. It should be fine because fiberglass is not a conductor material. It's a resistor, so it's fine.
Okay, that's why I need to know before I spend some more money on it.
Yeah, no, don't. I think you're perfectly fine if it's one of those fiberglass containers. You're perfectly fine.
Yes. Yeah, Hertz is the one that the container used to be to.
Yeah, that's fine. But
all right.
I wish I could help you more with the ramp. I really do, Terry. I got to go, but good luck to you, and I hope you find somebody. And if I hear of anybody, I will certainly let you know. Or you can call me next week and say, hey, did you hear anybody? I don't know. All right. Let me see here. I got to thank you, Terry. We're going to finish up here. I want to tell you about TDT, and then I'm going to call it a day from Brownsville, but I'll be back tomorrow morning starting at 8 o'clock with Charlie Mosier. And we'll have a full show tomorrow, too. TDT is a company that can redo your pipes, reline them. First off, they're going to sandblast them. If you look at the inside of galvanized pipes, it's almost rust. There are sections of galvanized pipe that you could cut out, let's say 1 foot. And they're old. They're from the 60s. And you can look, and you cannot see light through it. But yet, water still travels through it. It's amazing. Just little tiny holes, it finds its way, and the water keeps going through it. But it's collecting all that rust and debris, and it's just not good quality water anymore. In fact, it's nasty. Even to bathe in, you don't want to. You need to have those pipes relined so you get them sandblasted and they're nice and shiny and smooth and full size so all your water pressure comes back. No more rust and stuff getting in your toilet bowls and things. And then they line it with a micro-thin layer of epoxy. And it's all done with machinery. And I know a lot of people say, well, how do you know? They know. And they've actually cut sections out to test and stuff, so they know it's all done right. But the bottom line is this. It's all done in a couple days. You don't have to repipe your home. And you have all brand new pipes for the most part because they're all giving you full water pressure. They're all clean. They're not going to do that again because they have a lining in them. And yet, looking at a 75-year lifespan, for most of us, I think that's enough. I know for me, I'm good with 20. 75 is more than I need. Anyway, call TDD if you've got those rusty galvanized pipes, either from the 80s or the 60s. The ones in the 80s, they spring leaks because they had a seam in them, and they weren't built very well. They were imported from overseas. TDT, give them a call before you make your choice of repiping or renewing, and they'll lead you in the right direction either way.
Thanks for making Home Show Radio Houston's trusted source for home improvement tips and advice. Tom Tynan's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of Sports Radio 610, sponsors, or Mojer Media. Remember, Tom is always on at homeshowradio.com. Questions and answers, tips and videos, our podcast too, all free, all for you at homeshowradio.com.